Show me the money.
This is the MoneyWeb Be a Better Investor podcast, picking the brains of professional investors on their investment strategies, successes, and mistakes. Your host, Rake Fanica.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Be a Better Investor podcast. My name is Rake van Niekerk, and in this podcast series, I speak to leading professional investors about their investment journeys. We look at their first investments and how their investment strategies have changed over the years. We also look at their personal portfolios to see whether they practice what they preach. And the idea is to identify a few golden nuggets of wisdom to help amateur retail investors to become better investors. My guest today is Ziyad Sarang. He's the Chief Investment Officer of Revigo Fund Managers, and he's also the Head of Fund Initiatives at Investec. Revigo is a specialist private equity investor in the renewable energy sector in sub-Saharan Africa. So that is quite niche. But Ziyad, thank you so much for your time today. Let's start with your background. Where did you grow up, and of what career did you dream when you were still young?
Hi, Rick. Yes, thank you for giving this opportunity. Very happy to have this discussion with you. I started off my career. I come from a little town called Roshni, which is near Vereeniging. Very many moons ago, I decided on studying a BCom accounting when I finished my matric. And the reason why I followed that was really it was the quickest way to start earning a living. I had no idea what a chartered accountant actually did, except that they eventually managed businesses, and you know that was quite prevalent in the South African corporate market. I then started off doing articles after I qualified, and went into Arthur Andersen. Later on, then joined Standard Bank, which was actually called Standard Corporate and Merchant Bank, within Project Finance. And I've been involved in Project Finance basically in every form, from debt, equity, ever since then.
And in the house you grew up, did you get exposed to the investment world?
No, I was one of the first in my family to go and study. So you know, from that perspective, it was actually quite tough because you didn't have guidance or mentors that would give you, you know, typically in the environment I came from, you either did medicine, became a doctor, became a lawyer or an accountant.
Or a
teacher as well. Yes, I chose the accounting way.
So you went the project finance route, which, you know, the management thereof is complicated, and CAs are quite, you know, often they follow careers in that specific field. But when were you exposed to the investment world and decided, listen, maybe that could be an interesting journey?
Yeah, so you know, I think you know, in university they don't teach you about investing, and I think that's something that's lacking. I think people need to understand about investing. When I was at university, it was all theoretical. When I got into auditing, I really got into the nuts and bolts of what makes businesses and understanding how businesses actually work, and that's when you realize, you know, investing is about identifying great management, identifying great companies that have got good business models where you can sell either product or service and get paid really good margins for those products and services. And during articles, it gave me an exposure to, you know, various industries. One of my other clients was MTN. And from that perspective, you know, you got to see a growth business almost from ground level going up. And a diversified range of industries also during articles. And I think that's for me where investments started making sense, because you got a broad exposure across multiple industries whilst doing some articles.
Yeah, there are many people doing their articles, their CA articles, who then work in the companies they first audit. It's actually quite funny that a destiny could be tied to the companies you ordered when you do your articles, and it happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. You know, I had a lot of friends going and joining some of the firms that they audited. However, I wasn't one of those. I always look to not audit or do something or view or review something that someone else has created. I want to go and create. And that was my driving force to leave Articles and join SCMB and, you know, get into project finance. And that was about a new business, a new sector, or very, very specialized, but was always cash flow based. And I think that's for me what investment's about. It's where are the cash flows.
So what was the very, very first investment you made in your own name?
Obviously, you know, when you start Articles, you've got all these young bright minds wanting to play the market. So I started, you know, in first year of Articles, you know, dabbling on the stock exchange, and I really call it dabbling, not really understanding what investment's about, looking for short-term profits, and, you know, bought some shares on the JSE based on discussions in the audit room, as opposed to doing my own analysis, which is actually what you should be doing. You know, bought a few of these little penny stocks, hoping that they're going to increase. Boy, was I wrong. They did not work out well.
Name a few.
Oh, Conlog. Yeah, this is a long time ago. Conlog. You know, the human mind has this ability to forget bad news. I think this is one of those times.
Yeah, it's interesting how you forget the bad news and remember the good news and the good experiences. But, you know, obviously that must have played a role in how you invest. You know, getting burnt is not always about losing money. Sometimes it's a fantastic learning school.
I agree. Those lessons, you know, if they come early on, you can always recover from them. So the one thing I always learned is, you know, invest with money you're prepared to lose. So, you know, it was not big money. It was money that I was prepared to lose. Put it into the market, dabble in there, go with the rumor or the tip. But one of the things I learned very early on is IPOs. And I remember I invested in the one-time IPO, one-time airline IPO. Oh, not a big mistake. So you see, you learn from those mistakes. And you know, it reminded me of a quote that I think Richard Branson once said. Someone asked him, how do you become a millionaire? And he said, start off with a billion and buy an airline. You know, so those are the lessons you learn along the way. It was really, you do it early. If you do it early on with funds that you're able to lose, and I think that's an important lesson, those funds that was able to lose and recover from, you then, you know, finessed your investment philosophy over time to actually get it right. And I've learned along the way how to do that, I would think. And I think it's something that gives me, I have a strategy called, you know, just keep it simple.
There's a difference between saving and investing. And there's also a difference between speculating and investing. So, you know, if you take an average individual, a young person entering the professional market, getting, you know, a first job and opening that Easy Equities account, and now would start to like, you know, investing. You know, I don't think the many people understand the difference between investing and saving at that age. But how do you think they should approach it?
Yeah, I mean, if someone asked me, and I like talking about this topic a lot, is, you know, investing is a long-term game. It's about patience. And the simplest way to do that is, as you say, you know, open up account. You know, Investec has a very nice platform called Clarity. And from that perspective, what I would say is, it's time in the market, not timing the market. So, you know, when you invest and you put the money away, you put it away for a long time. Don't, you know, trading's almost close to gambling, in my view, and that's what I learned very early on, which is what I did when I started off. And you know, you don't have to invest in everything, but you can invest in certain things for a very long time. For example, you know, ETFs. You don't need a lot of money to put it in. You can go in with the platform such as Clarity or Easy Equities, and put in a little bit. But it's about consistently putting it in and leaving it there for a long time. And that's the trick. It really is timing the market.
And one aspect many people, especially young people, struggle with is to be patient. And it takes some skill to manage a investment that is not performing. And what I've seen is that many people, when they see a share go down, even with a long-term strategy, they get out and not, you know, riding the cycle. So how do you think you should teach somebody, or somebody should perceive a downturn in a particular share or investment, and how should they take the decision to sell it or not?
Right, it takes discipline, and you learn that over time. You know, it's about understanding what you're buying in, and you're buying for the long term. You know, the up and down share movements are very short term, but you got to understand what you're buying in is for the long term and what the long term trend is. And you really have to keep your emotion in check. Nobody likes seeing red. You always want to see green. Red being down and obviously green going up. And from that perspective, if you invest in highly volatile shares, you're going to have this constant, whoa, the share price going up, share price going down. For me, that just brings in anxiety, and it goes against my investment strategy of sleep well at night. Swan. That's exactly what you need to look for. As a young investor, you want Swan. You're busy doing so many things. The last thing you want to do is worry about what your investment does on a daily basis. It's hard. It takes resilience. But if you convince yourself that you're investing in something for the long term, you know, the stock or the ETF has got a history of over the long term increasing, as opposed to looking at the daily movements, you can overcome days of negative. But here's the thing. You don't have to. You can ask yourself every 3 months, is this stock something that I'm gonna would have bought today? You know, you do that every 3 months or every 6 months. You know, you can then manage that risk of a stock falling down over trend over a prolonged period of time. So you need tools. You need tools to keep yourself steady in the long term. It's always about the long term.
So let's talk about your portfolio currently. You have been in this business now for a long time. You're very, very experienced. So how did you craft your own investment portfolio?
Like I said, you know, early days started off trading, not really knowing what I was doing. I call it gambling. It's now all about sleep well at night, Swan. You look at what is the trend. Typically, it's ETFs, so that I don't have any issues about stock picking. Stock picking is surely a way to to cause no swan in your life, because the daily volatility is not something that I want in my life. And you know, from that perspective, ETFs in, you know, S&P 500, NASDAQ, in the South African Cetrix, those type of ETFs provide you with diversification. You know, the long-term trend, if you look at S&P 500, for argument's sake, has produced about 11% per annum for many, many decades. So those are long-term investments. And, you know, just reading a lot about what is a market sentiment, what's a market trends. And that's how I got to a point where I said, let's invest in something that gives me peace of mind at the end of the day, has a long-term trend, has got good business models. So, you know, as a youngster, if I were to start with it today, I'd start with ETFs and then look at, you know, some of the bigger stocks within those ETFs, and then look at positions within, you know, probably the top 10 of those stocks, and build a portfolio around that.
It's not an either or. Many professional investors, they believe ETFs or unit trusts, index trackers, that, you know, is the way to go. But it's not either or. You can have a conservative market tracking proportion of your portfolio and then be a bit more aggressive with, say, a certain percentage of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you can start off. You know, as I'm getting older, I understand about, or trying to be a little bit more risk averse. You know, when you're younger, like I say, you can take those hits. You can underpin a portfolio with index trackers, and then build a portfolio with those little gems as you go along, and then take a little bit more risk to, you know, if you want to get a bit more upside. But I totally agree. I think I think there's so much of information out there that we've got access to in the investment world. Following fashionable stocks can burn you, because most of the time those are ones punted on, you know, the likes of CNBC, etc. And you're generally buying at the top of the curve, and that's a sure way to lose money. But what you do want to do is have a diversified portfolio so that you can actually sleep well at night.
Yeah, I like this swan sweep well at night. Just lastly, two questions. The first one is, what has been your worst investment ever? And I would imagine you would go back to your penny stocks in the heyday of penny stocks.
Oh, yes, penny stocks. You know, it's almost like you're hoping it's going to increase, because you put a little bit of money and hope this penny stocks is going to double and triple in value. And hope's not a strategy.
Hope is actually the worst thing you can have. It's actually worse than fear and greed.
You are going to lose. So, you know, I'd stay away from these sure bets in penny stocks. I think good business models, you know, I learned very early in life in project finance, you know, cash is king. Companies that produce cash, that have got leverage that they use to grow as opposed to create stock price increases, those are the ways to actually make money in the long term. But it's ultimately down to, you know, is this business model solid? Does it have good management? And is it there for the long term? Will this company be here in 10 years' time? You know, what does it have? What is the secret sauce they have? And will it be here in 10 years' time? And that's the thing. It's long term. It's all about long term.
And your best investment ever?
NVIDIA.
Oh, when did you get in?
I bought NVIDIA 2016. I sold out at 100%. Took my capital. That's always, you know, sleep mm-hmm. well at night. So you play the house money effectively. And then, you know, 1600% later, you're still smiling.
Yeah, that has been a phenomenal investment. But let's just learn from you a bit more. So that share has run extremely hard, one of the top international performers probably of all time. So now you have, you know, obviously you invested X, and then after a period you sold what you actually invested in, well, the amount you invested in. Now, how long do you keep the balance, the one that you said has just, you know, given you a 1600% return?
Yeah, the same strategy applied to any stock that I buy. Every 3 months or every 6 months, I ask, would I buy the stock? So it's effectively to avoid the Kodak scenario. You know, if the answer is, and it's very clinical, if the answer is no, I would not buy the stock, sell.
Ziad, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you for sharing your insights.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's a pleasure having this chat with you, Ray. All the best.
Thank you. That was Ziad Sarang. He's the Chief Investment Officer of Revigo Fund Managers, and he's also the Head of Fund Initiatives at Investec.
Show me the money. That was The Money Web, Be a Better Investor podcast with Ray Funicap. Thanks for listening. Catch up and listen to all the Money Web podcasts on moneyweb.co.za or the app. Money Web, your trusted source for business and investment insights.